Coming up on this edition of the Golf Digest podcast, we discuss Bryson DeChambeau's latest win, the Ryder Cup captain's picks, and have a nice chat with Tyrrell Hatton.
My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
Well, why do they even have one if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
What is this, custom? Mine's off the rack.
I wish Tiger Woods was here to help me with this.
We'll do it live!
Welcome back to the Golf Digest podcast. I'm Alex Myers, and today I'm joined by Keeley Levins. This is a kind of an away game today. It's a home game for me. We're literally at my home, but we didn't have the studio. I just gave you a Costco chocolate chip cookie. What do you think?
I mean, I think that you set yourself up for failure because
I pumped it up too much.
You have been talking about Costco chocolate chip cookies endlessly.
They're the best.
They're not.
They're the best.
I mean, they were good. It was better than other Costco foods that I've had. Like, I've had the Costco pizza before. This was better than that. But it's not as good as Levain cookies.
Okay, I know, but you're talking about like the top bakery in New York City, basically, right?
Yeah.
Of cookies.
Goat
okay.
cookies.
But right, those are $4 a cookie.
Worth
the cookie you just ate is like 10 cents. So
if we're talking about price ratio, I guess the Costco cookie
the value
to come out on top.
Yeah.
In this case.
All right. Well, anyway, we lot to talk about. Obviously, we have great chat with Tyrrell Hatton coming up. I think I keep saying his name right. Hopefully, I know he gets ticked off when people don't say it right.
He gets some weird, like
At least I'm in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Like he has, like he said, the Tyrell and the
Tyler.
Even. Yeah, people calling him different names.
Yeah,
that's nuts. Yeah,
I get. I mean, that's not as bad as I've gotten. I've sent people emails, so it's from Keeley. And they email me back, hi, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's just carelessness, obviously. Well, someone who's not careless, obviously, Bryson DeChambeau, another guy you could pronounce his name a few different ways, too. Let's be honest. No, this guy is turning into an absolute monster. I called him he's a physics major, but I call him a black hole. Black holes crush, they pull in any matter around them and crush them.
And you never see it again.
Exactly. Yeah. He has now faced 223 opponents in two FedEx Cup playoff events, crushed them all.
And like played with Tiger.
Yes.
Like that's another black hole scenario.
Exactly. I keep forgetting about that. That's kind of getting lost because
people don't talk about that enough. That's a big deal.
You're right. Because of the two wins in a row, marquee wins, playing with Tiger. Tiger shoots 68, plays pretty well. He dusts him by five shots.
And like other players, pretty much everyone else who's ever played with Tiger is like, it's a shot and a half, two-shot penalty to play with him because everybody's walking right after Tiger hits.
Right.
Like you're thrown off your game, but not DeChambeau.
Right. It's, I mean,
loved it.
Right. It's not like it was a Sunday in the final group or anything, but still. Well, actually, it was a Sunday, but it wasn't the final round. It was the third round, but it was pretty late. He had all the crowd following him and, you know, they're obviously buddies. They've gotten to know each other. He's comfortable playing with them. He plays practice runs with them. So that probably helped. Mm-hmm. But to go out in competition and put on that display, you know, Tiger was really impressed.
Absolutely.
But it's hard not to be impressed with everything this guy's doing. We obviously knew how great of a ball striker he is, but in these first two playoff events, he's second in strokes gained putting.
His putting is looking good.
Right. I mean, his putting has come so far from the side saddle experiment that we all joked about.
It still looks bizarre. Yeah,
everything he does looks bizarre. Let's be honest. Like, people who watch golf for the first time are like, who the heck is this guy? What is going on? What is this sport that you were showing me?
He has like the long putter, like the Kuchar length putter. And it just, you see him set up and you're just like, oh, wow. Like, how does anyone putt from this position? And then he just drains everything. So I don't really know how to argue with him.
Yeah. And he's got the big grips on the clubs. He obviously has the single length iron. He's got the hat working.
True.
He really is his own. I mean, he's such a unique figure. It's crazy. I mean, he talked about how he had a robotic ping pong player that he used to practice with when he was a kid.
Least surprising thing I've ever heard.
Right. I mean, exactly. It was like, on one hand, it was the weirdest thing you've heard, but on the other hand, it was the least weird thing you've heard because he's just so different. But, and then what was it? Oh my goodness. Afterwards, someone asked him, how much more can you improve? And he said, it depends on the restrictions of my biomechanics or something crazy. I mean, what is going on?
Like he's measuring his like flexibility and his strength. Yeah.
It's just bizarre. But I mean, whatever he's doing, man, stick with it. He's made $3.2 million the last 2 weeks. He is now, no matter what he does this week at the BMW Championship, the third leg of the FedEx Cup, he's going to be in that top spot going into the Tour Championship. And he's already set up a scenario where, and we've seen this before, if he doesn't win the FedEx Cup, people are going to say it's kind of stupid because, mm-hmm. I mean, he's dominated. I mean, look, if he played like crap the last two events and someone played great, that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
Odds are no one's going to win the last two events. He's going to win two of the four events. Again, he's in great shape to win the whole thing. But,
sure.
You know, is it one of those things where if you win the first two events, should you even have a bigger edge on the whole thing?
I guess. I mean, I understand like where people can kind of have their issue with the FedEx Cup and like not really understanding exactly where the winners come from. But I really just need to see what else he does because it is golf and it is Bryson. I mean, a couple weeks ago, he was having meltdowns. So if he has a total meltdown week, then no, I don't think he should win.
Well, and you mentioned how confusing it is. And we talked last week with Brian Wacker about the proposed changes to the FedEx Cup. And they're supposed to make it easier, at least for the Tour Championship, that they're just going to give the leader a two-shot lead and down, or a 10-shot lead over like the 30th person. And so then from there you go, okay, now you start, whoever wins, wins. So on that token, it'll make it easier. But again, if someone has such a dump, next year there'll only be three events. So if someone wins the first two events and then they only get a 2-shot lead, to me, that doesn't seem enough.
That's not bounce
like,
either.
You know, like,
So they're kind of trying to steal this from skiing. Like they, they do that in
cross-country skiing
and biathlon. Two very big sports in the U.S.
Huge, just huge.
No, so you'll do. It'll be a pursuit, is what it's called. So you go out and you do a race one day, and then so if I win and you're 30 seconds behind me, the next day I start and you start 30 seconds after me.
Oh, okay.
So this isn't unprecedented,
right? And people, sports. And that's legit. People don't legit. Complain. They've been doing that for a long time.
Hundreds of years.
Wow.
Probably not hundreds. Decades.
Centuries. So ski. All right. So they're copying skiing.
It's legit.
That's legit. We'll see what happens. Obviously, again, we've got the BMW Championship this week. It's at Aronimink.
Great course.
Have you been there?
I haven't, but I've heard all the just amazing things.
It's in our top 100.
I love these like old Donald Ross, like I love watching golf on these kind of courses. So I'm really excited for this week.
Well, and here's the thing. A few years ago, it got a Gil Hance restoration.
Yeah.
And I was briefly talking to our buddy Stevie Westside Hennessy, who's actually going down there today.
Oh, nice.
To talk to Austin Cook, I think, about something. But he mentioned the changes. And, you know, it's one of those things when newer architects come in and tinker with, like, an old classic course, a lot of times people are like, apparently everyone loves what he did. And that he really restored it back to what it was, but added all these bunkers and made the greens better. And I read somewhere where, you know, this Aronimink hosted the what's now the Quicken Loans. It was the AT&T National in 2010, 2011. People said that, like, Justin Rose won in 2010, I think, and Watney won. They say don't even really factor that in because the course is that different.
It's so different now. Yeah.
But that people really like it. So
yeah.
I agree. I actually haven't been there either, but I'm looking forward to watching on TV. I'm looking forward I hope there is more FedEx Cup controversy. I like that as much. I like the FedEx Cup, but I like when people complain about the FedEx Cup as much as anything.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see, not that I'm rooting against Bryson, but I would like to see someone kind of like snake a win at the end and like steal it from him.
Shake it up a little bit.
And you know, this isn't just on the PGA Tour. Last year, there was a big deal. Bernhard Langer was the best player all year. I think he won the first couple playoff events, and then he lost the finale to Kevin Sutherland. It was his only win of the year, and he won the big thing. And people were like, that's not fair. And it's like, that's how the playoffs work sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, the best team doesn't always
win. This isn't like a golf thing. Like, this happens.
Right. Like, you could have the best record in any sport and you could get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. So, I think actually what Brian said this last week, Wacker, that the word playoffs just is what throws people off.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. Cause it is a different format than like the typical, you know, it's not like a bracket or
you don't get knocked out and eliminated. I mean, you do, but not enough. Right.
People you can get knocked out.
Yeah. Right. You can, I mean, not only can you do poorly, Ricky Fowler sat out the first two events.
Yes. No,
and
that,
he's in the third event and he still has a great chance to make it to the final event, even though, so it's, you know, that's what's weird about it. We've talked about DeChambeau. We talked about Ricky Fowler. Even we had the first three, at least, Ryder Cup captains picks for the U.S. And we had all four Ryder Cup captains picks for European team. Jim Furyk picked Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau for his first three picks. That was probably the most obvious thing ever, right?
I think, well, I mean, a few of our coworkers.
I was going to say, it should have been, sorry, I preface that. It should have been the most obvious thing ever. We have a coworker, Joel Beal, who obviously is on the podcast a lot. He, for some reason, first it started with me, texted me on the side, I'll bet you $5 that Phil Mickelson doesn't get picked today.
He didn't say he would never get picked.
Right. He still thought he might get picked next week as the final pick.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll do it. And the only reason why I ended up trying to bet him more, and everybody in our office bet against Joel. So he lost.
Well, yeah, because it was obvious.
Right. He probably lost like $100 because he had like 20 different bets. This is a guy who has a new house, a new mortgage. He's trying to like make it by gambling. Married. Yeah. His poor wife has no clue. He's like gambling on these stupid golf bets that
she's
making.
She's listening right now. Yeah. Like, Joel. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Joel, if I blew your spot. I'm sure you didn't tell your wife you lost $100 on a stupid golf bet to your office coworkers. But yeah, you know, the only reason why I honestly was like trying to get Joel to bet more. I was like, I'll bet you $1,000 on this. The only thing that scared me was that Phil, being Phil, and how crazy and crafty and conniving and planning and everything else he is, would say to Jim Furyk, hey man, let's get some drama here. Don't pick me. Mm-hmm. Save me for the next week. Mm-hmm. And we'll get a whole other week of everybody talking about me and the match and everything else. And so I was worried for a second. I was like, well, maybe that would happen. But that's just diabolical. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Phil's too, not that crazy.
And it's not just Phil. It's also like Jim.
Yeah, he would have to go along with that.
Jim, voice of reason.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to do that. Makes me a little concerned for like your mental health. You're able to fall down into that kind of hole.
I know. I was really overthinking this. You know, it did help though, at least for Furyk's point of view, that Phil shot 63
in
the final round. Because let's be honest, he got off to an incredible start this season. He's kind of cooled off.
It's been a big lull through like the entire season.
It has.
He's peaking at the right time, I think. And you want the hot hand right now too. You know, if you're looking at, you know, people who won earlier in the year, that's not, you know, that doesn't really matter right now.
Right. No, and again, you know, and again, I don't know if Joel really thought he wouldn't make the team, I know some people did think he shouldn't make the team.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson was on the team before the year started.
Yeah.
And Tiger Woods, once he made it through, I think, the Valspar and he almost won.
Yeah.
I think he was on the team 100. So those two guys were on the team 100%. And at the time, actually, Phil looked like he might qualify in the points. I mean, and they... Mm-hmm. They both came close.
Tiger did too,
Right. We're not even. It's these are the 10th and 11th guys on the ranking. They just missed qualifying. So there's no. I love how like you know people are like, should Phil have made it? I mean, of course he should have made it. He was in the top 12. He was a star for the U.S. at the President's Cup last year. A star at the Ryder Cup 2 years ago. He made 10 birdies in a round against Sergio that final day in that epic match.
Yeah.
This is what he, you know, he lives for the majors. He lives for this event now. I know people used to say that he didn't and Tiger and him weren't that into it. They're so into this stuff
now. Oh, they love
this. It's crazy. Yeah. So, and I think, you know, the Matt Kuchar, I said it a few weeks ago, for once I was right on a prediction that he ends up getting a a vice captain position instead of making the team.
Yeah.
I know. He's out this week. So yeah, he's done.
He's done.
So he's going to be there. He gets to play ping pong in the team room and do all that. He gets
all that important stuff.
Yeah. Bryson's going to be could take him down.
I know.
He finally Bryson has a challenger.
Bryson did say he's not bringing his robot.
He's not. But Kuchar's the robot. So they're
his new robot.
Apparently, they split when they played one time. So that's impressive because Kuchar's supposed to be legit.
Kuchar's supposed to be really
I'm legit, by the way. I'd like to see what these guys can do.
I still haven't seen you play, but yeah, I've heard you beat Jaime or something.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we sweated it out. We needed like towels.
No,
I'm sure. We went at it.
I'm sure.
Max is very good too. Jaime slightly better than Max, I'd say.
Because Max plays tennis.
Yeah, Max is great at everything. But Jaime and I had some serious battles in Augusta.
Yeah.
But did you notice in the elevator there was a thing for a ping pong championship? I missed it. I saw it one time every time I get in the elevator I look, it's one of those things that cycle through.
I try to take a picture of it because I thought of you.
Yeah. I would have played in that.
It was like a Condé Nast ping pong tournament.
At One World Trade.
Yeah.
Probably on like the 64th floor or something.
That would have been cool. Next time.
Blew it. My only trophy is from the Carnival Cruise in 2004.
God.
Ping pong.
Oh, 2004.
Yeah. I remember it well. I crushed everybody.
Decade and a half ago.
Including, it was like, I think I played like a 10-year-old in the final. Oh, and I just showed no mercy. I just annihilated him.
You just absolutely buried him.
Yeah.
That's great.
Which
He's
is
probably
like,
in therapy right now.
Exactly. Which is what Bryson does to these guys now. I don't know how.
You're the Bryson of the Carnival Cruise.
All right. You said it earlier, and I think you're right. The European picks were more interesting than the American picks. Because the American, it's obvious who the three and even the four are. I think we all think Tony Finau is going to make it next week.
I
would hope so, too. 10 top 10s this year. He's had a great year.
Ooh, and but, just like he's someone that you want in a
birdie
team event.
Machine.
And he's really good for like team unity. Like he's a really good guy, gets along with everybody. And he's just like this badass athlete. Like he broke his ankle and still top 10 at the Masters.
Yeah.
Like you want someone gutsy.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's who you want on your team.
That's the most
time.
Remarkable performance of the year.
Athlete.
Like when that happened, we were all like, oh, like,
I, like wanted
his
to
season's over.
Up. Yeah.
Like, he's done.
His career's over.
Yeah, and like he played and he finished. And then when he played, it was like, oh, he just really wants to play. It's his first time.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was taking a spot because it's not, you know, there aren't alternates at the Masters.
Like
he was in and he wanted to play and it was like, good for you. He'll probably withdraw. And he finishes like top T7 or something. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. He's
if I'm
tough.
Derek, I'm picking that guy all day long.
Yeah, definitely. So that'll be next week. But again, the European side, Thomas Bjorn had like 8 names to choose from. And most of them were huge names.
Yeah.
Now he ended up, I think, going with the 4 biggest name brand recognition guys. He, you know, Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia, Paul Casey, Henrik Stenson.
Yeah.
You know, all great players, all well-established, all, you know, in the last 2 decades, some of the best
European players ever.
Ever. Exactly.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by any of them?
I mean, I was a little surprised that every single pick was like kind of that type of player. I thought that there could be some value in, I mean, just the last Ryder Cup, like they had so much success with Thomas Peters.
Yes,
and it was
with
just,
the new blood. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that you do kind of need that balance on a team of like new, fresh talent and then coupling it with like these more veteran type players.
Right.
So I thought it was a little strange to kind of overload with these huge names, but at the same time, like who's going to argue with, you know, playing a Ryder Cup with Sergio?
Yeah.
Like, I guess maybe Stenson with his,
he's had some injuries. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be one that, I wouldn't be sure, but at the same time, like, I think Stenson's an incredible player who can show up at an event like this. So, I mean, I could logically talk myself into any of these guys.
Right.
I guess like Thomas Peters is just someone that I would bet on, even though he hasn't really been playing very well.
Right. But I think he did show up a little at the PGA Championship and you're right. He was their star.
Oh my God.
In 2016.
Remember the way we were all talking about him in 2016?
We were gushing. I mean, I think he lost his first match. Then he got paired with Rory,
mm-hmm.
and they just ran the table. And Thomas Peters won his his singles match as well, where Rory lost to Patrick Reed. So Thomas Peters ended up winning 4 points. I think he was one of the, you know, first rookies to win that many points in a long time. He was 4-1. Rory even was like, man, I hope I'm playing with this guy for the next
two decades
or something. I mean, they were just so tough. I mean, Thomas Peters bombs it. Like, Rory bombs it. Thomas Peters hits it even past him. I mean, it's scary how far he hits it.
His swing, like, I don't know if I can think of another swing that I like watching more on tour right now than Thomas Peters.
It's definitely up there.
He's amazing.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, and you would have thought that he would have been a lock to make it, but it does show you how crazy golf is. I mean, he obviously struggled enough to not qualify. But that being said, Sergio's the guy who, you know, it's Sergio Garcia. I understand that.
I get it.
And it's crazy to think that since the last Ryder Cup, we already mentioned that match he played with Phil. He made the 8 birdie, or one of them made 10, one of them made, they combined for 18 birdies. It was the best match of the day. The Reed Rory got all the hype, and the front nine was amazing. But the Sergio Phil, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It was incredible. And to think that since that time, he won his first major and then wouldn't make the team is crazy on one hand, but his results are so bad this year, at least on tour. I mean, he finally showed a little life at the Wyndham Championship, a T24. That's it. I mean, look at all these missed cuts, missed cut.
I think it was like the way he started, like at the Masters. I think that kind of got him off to like a really scary start this year, and it's just kind of been
he was fourth at Valspar. I forgot about that when Tiger was in the hunt there. He was T7 in Mexico,
three top tens early, and then just absolutely
he missed the cut in all four majors. I mean that is crazy. So you could have passed on him, and
absolutely,
I know people would say, oh, with his history and everything else,
team golf is different than individual,
and it is. He has been one of the great Ryder Cup players of this generation for them. He's also like a spark plug. When he had his down patch, he still wanted to be there as an assistant. He fires up the team. But you look at these results, and there are definitely guys who deserved it more.
Yeah.
We asked Tyrrell Hatton about Matt Wallace. Englishman.
No, you could absolutely make a
he
case
won
for
three
him.
Times on the European Tour this year. I think he's the only person to do that. He didn't make the team. And honestly, I don't even know if he was the last cut. I think probably Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
Cabrera-Bello, that's another.
Russell Knox, Matthew Fitzpatrick. I mean, I got to say, people who think that this is going to be a slam dunk towards the U.S. are getting suckered in again, because, I mean, thinking of these names that they're leaving off.
It's a deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's as deep as they've been in a long time. I think it's probably about as deep as the U.S. have been in a long time.
Yeah.
But I think it's also as deep as Europe.
Yeah, they've got Alex Noren in there.
Yeah.
Some
sneaky good guys. I mean, Francesco Molinari's back on
the
team.
Very
sneaky. Thorbjørn, obviously, could grab that last spot. You could make a case that he's the weakest link, but he's played great this year. So, I mean, and then you have, Ian Poulter's back on the team. He missed in 2016. He had some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have Justin Rose, and then we talked about Stenson's back. You have the new John Rahm is the new blood. I mean, but on the same token, you look at the Americans and their dominant performance at Hazeltine, and now you add Tiger, you add Justin Thomas, who by the way is world number 3, and you add Brooks Koepka's now much better. He was injured then.
Yeah,
you add Tiger Woods.
DJ, more control
is better, right?
Of his game than he's ever been.
And Bryson DeChambeau, who's the best player in the world right now.
The black hole.
I mean, he's literally the best player in the world right now.
Suck the entire European team into the black hole.
Exactly.
They'll never be good.
and he's going to be playing with Tiger. That's going to be probably. We're assuming. They're such boys.
So, I mean, yeah.
And it sounds like DJ wants to play with Brooks.
Obviously.
That was funny, by the way. Did you catch that one?
I did.
The old, I feel bad. I feel sorry for anyone who has to play us. It was like, you played together in 2016. You got dusted. by Rory and Peters, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So.
A match that they won't have to go up against. So they will dust everybody.
The longest four ball of all time, by the way. Those four guys. Just think about that.
Oh, absolutely.
DJ, Brooks, Rory, Peters.
Do we have the number on the driving average?
I don't know.
From that match? It was probably like 328.
Yeah, especially average. with match play and guys just, you know, ripping. Going ripping. Yeah. I mean, that was some kind of pairing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, Sergio definitely is the guy who you hope he plays well, because if he doesn't, poor Thomas Bjorn is going to get raked over the coals for picking him.
Yeah.
If he ends up being the difference here, and, you know, but we'll see. Again, you never know. He could turn it on. It could be
if, show up.
You know, absolutely. Phil Mickelson a couple times has made it, and you've said, I don't know if what, and he's turned it on. So some of these great players can turn it on.
We've seen it in the Solheim Cup too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like this past year, Paula Creamer was like a very late pick because Jessica Korda had to pull out due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, her numbers were nowhere near like what they needed to be to have, like, you know, played onto the team. And she's just someone that thrives in that environment.
Yep.
It's a totally different environment. Exactly. So
it's a totally different
Sergio similar.
Exactly. It's a totally different environment. You're playing for, well, in Europe, you're playing for your continent and mm-hmm. whatever. And these guys just get so into it. Some Absolutely. Of them thrive on it. Like, yeah. like Ian Poulter, like Sergio. So obviously we're getting close. That's going to be really exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those first timers is Tyrrell Hatton, from England, who's, you know, been a top 25 player all year. I think he climbed as high as 13 in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Had you know, a close call in Mexico, had a close call this past week in Boston. But he's very excited, obviously, to join the European Tour, the European Ryder Cup team for this year. And we had a great talk with him. So let's have a listen to our talk with Tyrrell Hatton. All right, we're excited to welcome Tyrrell Hatton for the first time to the Golf Digest podcast. Tyrrell is a new member of the European Ryder Cup team, and he is a three-time European Tour winner. Tyrrell, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I know Keeley is here too, and you guys had an interesting first intro at the PGA Championship.
Yeah, Tyrrell, you probably had no idea I was standing over there, but you had one of the most interesting tee balls I've ever seen. It went a little left on the fifth hole at Belle Reve. Could you talk a little bit about where that ball ended up?
Yes, it landed, fortunately, because I think it could have been a hell of a lot worse, but it landed in the back of a golf buggy that was carrying water. So I think I was fairly lucky there, because it could easily have gone out of bounds.
That, and she almost, like, the woman driving the golf cart, like, didn't even know that it landed in there. And she was, like, driving away with your golf ball. It was...
Well, I'm just thankful it didn't hit anyone.
That's true.
Yeah, that was my main concern when I was obviously walking up there, because it was a long way left. So I was quite happy to see that no one was hurt. And obviously I was quite fortunate that it stayed in her buggy and I could just take a free drop.
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny because I don't know where you would rank, what was it, Sunday's round at TPC Boston. To me, that had to be one of the craziest rounds of golf. We're talking about a crazy thing at the PGA, but what happened to you Sunday at TPC Boston on, what, three or four different holes? Was that the craziest round of golf you've ever played? I mean, it just seemed like freakish things were happening to you and your golf ball that day.
Yeah, it was it was a strange day. Obviously, I think what happened on 18 was the craziest thing out of all of it.
Yeah.
My golf ball like defied gravity, basically. But it was one of those days. I didn't feel like I was playing that well, and I was hitting a few poor shots and. I got lucky a couple of times, but then at the same time, something like fairly unlucky as well.
Right.
Obviously, how we lost the golf ball on 12 was strange.
Right.
So it was unfortunate, but just one of those things that happened.
How quickly did you get to see that replay on 18? And do you usually watch replays of your round?
I saw the replay of 18 pretty much straight after. I had the interview with Sky Sports, and obviously they had the Sky car there.
Mm.
So they had it in slow-mo and everything. So it was quite amazing to see. It was some incredible work from the cameraman, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
We needed Bryson DeChambeau to explain that, the physics of it all.
I think he's the guy that could explain that better.
You know, I'm just wondering, obviously you have the three European Tour wins. I know, you know, there are a lot of European golf fans and even some players who think that maybe some of the accomplishments on the European Tour get overlooked. But how much pressure is there on you to win a first PGA Tour title? You've obviously come very close a few times this year. Is there an extra pressure of getting that first win in the U.S.?
I guess in some respects it's similar to the European Tour. Mm-hmm. In the sense where you're going for your first win, but I think, you know, winning on the European Tour still counts as a win. So,
of course,
obviously, you know how to get over the line, and you can obviously know yourself that you can do it. So, I think it's not as big as it's kind of made out to be, I guess.
Okay.
But obviously, it's still we're all here to try and win golf tournaments. So it'd be nice to win one soon. That's for sure.
Sure.
And it seems like with your play being so good lately, especially, it seems like a lot of people think that you are very close. And part of the reason seems to be this putter that you bought at a Golf Galaxy. Could you talk a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, well, it was actually my caddy went into Golf Galaxy.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask if people, like, recognized yeah. you or, like...
No. So my caddy went in there. I was actually too embarrassed to go in there myself.
Fair.
Yeah, I've been struggling with the putter for a while, which is normally one of my strengths. And I just kind of... I needed change. So after round three at the Northern Trust? Yes, Northern Trust.
Yeah.
So I forgot the name of it then.
it changes every year, basically, so that's why.
Yeah, so my caddy went into Golf Galaxy, and he... Obviously, I know all the names of the pin putters, basically, so...
Right.
He kind of said what was there, and then we video called on WhatsApp, and I could kind of see and make sure that I was happy with it. And then he took it to the front desk and had them they cut it down to size and put a different grip on it, and it was ready to go.
Oh wow,
that's okay. Pretty
so they,
good.
They tinkered with it too. There was another charge on there for like $12. I just wonder, like, what you weren't buying a bag of tees.
That was the putter grip.
Okay, that was the grip. Okay. I was wondering. I didn't think you needed tees or anything or balls or anything like that. So
grabbing a Gatorade on the way out.
Or your caddy, was going to town with your card or something. No, that's amazing though. But you have a great Twitter account, and that day specifically, you tweeted that you were ranked. I don't know, I think you said like 87th in the field in strokes gained putting, and you had the Happy Gilmore go to your home gif. Do you check your stats a lot like that?
I think it's easier to do in the States, just with the PGA Tour app.
Sure.
You can see it. It's all there, where you can see where you're ranked in strokes gained, tee to green, putting for that week, obviously around the green. So, normally I wouldn't sort of look at it. I know kind of when I'm doing something well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I know when I'm not doing something as good as I'd like to. So, but it's just been putting, I was kind of looking to see if anyone was actually ranked below me, because I was already pulling my hair out as it was, so I was going to imagine how anyone else would feel if they were doing the worst job I was. But
well, it seems like
I don't look at that too often, but
yeah.
If I was going to look at any, it would be the putting.
Yeah, well, it was money well spent. Obviously, you shot a 64 the next day. You had a great week at TPC Boston. Are you surprised with how quickly you adapted to that putter? And is that going to stay in your bag for a while, do you think?
I'm not surprised how I've adapted. I think sometimes change is good. And it was amazing how I kind of started round four at the Northern Trust with obviously not too much confidence on the greens, and then I hold from about 10 feet on one, and then I hold from about 12 feet on three, and that was me off and running then. I've seen the ball go in the hole. Obviously I've got a new putter, which it's actually a lot softer off the face than what I'd normally use, or had been using for the last sort of almost 2 years. And with the greens being as quick as they were, it was actually quite helpful. And yeah, I felt like I was reading the greens pretty well. I just wasn't kind of starting the ball on the line that I wanted to. So I had a lot of putts sort of maybe just burning the edge of the hole and all the frustrating stuff. So I had the new putter in from Sunday, just starting the ball on the lines that I wanted to, and obviously started holding putts again, so, which was nice. Obviously, we had a good week last week on the greens, apart from the final day on Monday. Quite a frustrating day for me, which I didn't really hide too well.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We didn't mind it.
No, it's very entertaining watching you play. We must say. No, we were obviously going to ask you about that. Have you always kind of, I would assume, kind of show your emotions out there on the course?
Yeah, I've always been quite fiery on the golf course. I think sometimes, obviously, that can go too far, which is kind of what happened on Monday. Obviously, I was quite fiery on Sunday, but it wasn't. You can kind of tell as well with the amount of stuff you get on social media.
Yeah.
It's a good gauge.
Obviously, on Sunday, it was all kind of, it was fine, and then Monday was just a lot of abuse and stuff, which is what it is. I know myself when I've kind of not been great. I don't kind of need a Twitter reaction to tell me, you know what I mean? But obviously that's one thing I was disappointed with myself, with my attitude on the final day. It's the first time I got for a while that I'd kind of given myself the chance to be able to win a golf tournament. You know, not playing quite well, and then I started missing a few putts. It just got quite frustrating, and just didn't kind of deal with it too well, which was annoying, but hopefully next time I can do a better job of that.
Yeah, and I mean, even though it seems like a lot of people think that all that emotion may not have a place in a normal tour event, it definitely has a place in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
So do you think your kind of style of play will fit well in your first Ryder Cup?
What was that, sorry?
Do you think your style of play will fit well as you head into your first Ryder Cup?
I hope so. Obviously, I want to do as well as I can for the team, and I'll be trying my best to win every match possible. I'm obviously really looking forward to the Ryder Cup. It'll be a fantastic week. The golf course is great. It'll be obviously the best atmosphere that I'd ever would have played in to date, which I'm excited for. So, like I said, hopefully I can do well, and it'd be even better if Europe can win the Ryder Cup back.
I don't know if you've seen today Captain Bjorn's four picks, and yep. kind of went with the big names. No real surprises, I guess. What did you are you surprised with any of the picks?
No, not really. I always felt I thought there were three nailed on picks with Poulter, Casey, and Stenson,
mm-hmm.
and then I felt pretty. Like the rest of the golfing world, it was probably between Garcia and Rafa
Berbea. Right.
So, there's always going to be people less disappointed. But it's obviously it's a strong team. I mean, the four wild cards are massively experienced in Ryder Cup. So it will help us guys who are new to it, and like I said, hopefully we do well.
You another Englishman, obviously Matt Wallace, who you know, won three times on the European Tour this year. He was it just a little, maybe too little, too late to get onto the team, or were you disappointed that he didn't make it?
No, I think what Matt's done this year with the obviously winning three times is great. But I think even with the tournaments that he won, was he 14th or 15th on the list
mm-hmm.
after it closed. So, you know, obviously, I personally didn't think he would get picked.
Okay.
But obviously, winning three times in a season is very special. So. He's a fantastic player, and what he did in Denmark to win was very impressive. I think everyone can agree with that.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anyone in particular on the European team that you're excited to play with, whose game you think really matches yours or you would do well with?
To be honest, it's not something I've actually thought about. obviously, I'll leave that. The Thomas and the vice captain to decide who they think that I should play with. From my point of view, and I think the other players' point of view, we're happy to play with anyone in that team. If that's what the captain thinks is the best thing to do. Obviously, we're all pulling for each other and wanting to do well and win the trophy back. So. It's whoever we're paired with. It won't make any difference for me.
how excited are you to be playing? I know France has never hosted it before, but obviously this is the home turf for Europe. I know obviously in 2016 the Hazeltine crowd got criticized for maybe going over the top. How are you more excited to be able to play a quote home game, or would you like to have that? Opportunity to play on American soil?
Yeah, I think it will be playing my first Ryder Cup in Europe will be more special with the home support and stuff. Yes, obviously I'd heard the same about it being a little bit over the top a couple of years ago, but I think as long as it's not putting guys off throughout the swing, then it's just you take it on the chin.
Right, so, right.
You're the away team, so you always expect a little bit of
right,
a bit of stick. That's part of it. That's kind of what makes it fun. But yeah, as long as there's nothing interrupting when you're trying to hit a shot, then there shouldn't be too much of an issue. I don't think.
I wonder, do guys still, have you talked to guys about that? Do guys on that team still bring that up, bring up Hazeltine in the crowd?
No, it won't be. It's never brought up.
Okay.
Obviously that's 2 years ago now. Everyone's kind of looking forward to playing the home Ryder Cup again.
Sure.
And everyone's hoping that we can, obviously, like I said, hopefully we can win.
Yep.
As you head into all these big end of the season events, Is your dad's your coach? Is he traveling with you? Is he going to be at the Ryder Cup? And I'm sure he's pretty excited.
So my dad isn't traveling with me at the moment. He'll be at the Ryder Cup though. So I've got, but depending how this week goes, but if I don't get through to the Tour Champs, then obviously I've got 2 weeks at home before the Ryder Cup, which will be good because it allows me some time to do some work with my dad to make sure the swing's kind of where we want it to be.
Is he?
And yeah, and then all and kind of go from there. Really, I haven't seen my dad for. Well, I've been stateside since 29th of July, so getting home and being able to for my dad to see the swing in person it will be good to get it all sort of straightened out.
He's been your coach since you were little, right? He's the only coach you've ever worked with.
I've worked with coaches prior, but since the age of about 12, I've been. 11, my dad's coached me.
What does he think about your fiery style of play? Does he encourage that, or is that, and do you get that from him, or does he try to rein you in a little?
I mean, obviously, my dad's pretty fiery, to be honest. Obviously, he wouldn't agree with going overboard, like anyone else. It's part of how I play, being fiery, but obviously there'll be a few things that that I did on Monday, for example, that he wouldn't be sort of too happy to see either. So it just comes to a point, as long as you don't go too far with it, then it's not a problem.
Your name obviously gets mispronounced all the time by announcers, by fans, by even players. Yeah. And I know Phil Mickelson, it was a big deal. He asked how to pronounce your name on the first tee. What did you think of that? I thought that was him trying to, I don't know, at least get it right.
Yeah, I didn't see it any other way than him trying to get it right.
Yeah.
Obviously, I get Tyrell all the time. So I don't know why some people think I'm either Terry or yeah. Tyler. I just can't get my head around that, really. But yeah, the most common one, Tyrell or Terrell.
Right. I
do make an effort to say to the starters that I'm Tyrell.
Okay.
But they still just, I don't know, if they get a bit nervous and they can't.
Have they gotten better?
Yeah, are they getting better with the pronunciation, or?
Some weeks are better than others.
Okay. You know, I just noticed a quirky thing here. Your three European Tour wins, do you know who the runner-up in all three, or at least one of the runner-ups in all?
Fisher.
Yeah, that's your fellow countryman. What, I mean, you're cruel to this guy. You just always beat him. What is going on there?
He's a good lad, Fish. Came with him really well, but it's just one of those weird stats, I guess.
Yeah. What you know, and also in your first win, I saw you had a 62 at St. Andrews, which tied the course record. What does that mean to, you know, have a score at such a historic venue like that, and obviously being part of your first win? How special is that to kind of put you on the map?
Obviously, that was it was special. Until Fish broke that record last year.
Okay.
Dang.
He got you back.
Yeah, he did. Made my Sunday a little bit more stressful than I wanted it to be, but never mind. But no, like 62 at St. Andrews is obviously a good round of golf. And it certainly helped me go on to win my first event on the European Tour.
Sure. Well, Terrell, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. Really enjoy watching you play. Hope you break through soon on the PGA Tour, and we look forward to seeing you at the Ryder Cup. Congrats. That's got to be really exciting for you.
And, yeah.
And we hope that the starters get your name right this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go around. We'll try to help out.
We'll spread the word.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Take care. Bye.
All right. Speak to you soon.
Bye. Well, thanks to Tyrell for joining us. And Keely, I know you worked with him on an instruction piece for Golf Digest. What did you kind of gather from him doing that piece?
Yeah, we, after the day after the PGA Championship, we shot an instruction story. And you never really know what someone's going to be like. Like, there's a huge range of how technical players are. On one end of the spectrum, you have like the Justin Roses who know every single thing about their swing. And right. They're just like very, very aware of every move that they're making. And then on the other end, you have like the Sergio Garcias who are just like, yeah, I'm a field player.
Right.
It is what it is. And Tyrell was definitely more of a Sergio. It was really cool. And it's cool to talk to people who think like that. Because I think the amateurs especially get so in their head about like what they're doing, what they're feeling. And these are some of the best players in the world. And they're like, yeah, no, like you gotta just like, you know, get out of your own way and just swing.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to talk to him about it. His dad is his coach and they, you know, they work together very well, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. Well, whatever he's doing, stick to it. I know he gets attention for some of the antics and the emotions he shows on the course, but again, he's putting up results. So and no, like you asked him, I mean, at the Ryder Cup,
one's going to complain about that.
That's going to be he's going to be intense because we've seen guys. You know, Rory's always pretty intense, but I mean, at the Ryder Cup, he's like an animal. I mean, he's a savage. He's like a different person. So, well, I think Tyrrell will get to cut loose a little.
Oh, I think he'll be so fun to watch.
That should be fun. All right, some accolades to hand out here. The best one-day story. I don't know if everybody saw this, but there was a guy had a hole-in-one capture on video by his buddies. I think his name was Josh Ein. And
I can't believe you know his name.
Yeah, well, I looked it up. And actually, you know that Trillium Rose?
One of our best young teachers teaches him.
She reached out to me. She was like, oh, he's a great guy. I'm so glad it spread. So yeah, how random is that?
Wow, so, good teacher.
So, I mean, this was legit. At first, people thought it was fake, which I know Derek Jeter a couple years ago posted a hole-in-one video and everybody was skeptical. And a couple weeks later, it turned out it was fake.
It was fake, right.
I don't know why he did that. It was really weird. But this was real. And this guy actually even posted a second version where you zoom in, you can see the ball going in.
Yeah.
But I know we're searching for the aces, but can you imagine not only making one, but having it on video? That'd be amazing.
It would be really amazing. And he was stressing me out though, because he freaked out and started running. Yeah. He like ran across a road. I was like, is this video going to end with him getting run over by a car? This is terrifying.
The best moment of his life, the worst moment. no, he didn't luckily, but you're right. But I'm trying to think, I might do the same thing. I might just start running. You know, it's funny. I thought I stepped on the tee at this hole the other day at Hudson Hills. It's downhill par three and there's water. And for some reason, I don't know why I
think about this stuff.
It got in my head. I was like, if I made a hole in one, would I like jump in the lake or something?
Oh my God.
And I'm so stupid. I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But why would I even think? Because I'm never going to make a hole in one, ever. I almost made one. I have three close calls. I almost made it. It looked like it landed in the hole. It just missed. It hopped forward. It spun back. It missed again. We got down there. It probably missed by like a foot. But, you know, it was one of those like your heart stops. Like you think is going to happen. But I don't know. Maybe I would start running and man, I would kill to have it. You know, a guy who I play golf with actually mentioned he was going to pitch to local golf courses about setting up cameras on the par threes.
Cameras on every par three.
And
$1 million idea.
Right? If someone makes it, they would pay big. They buy the video.
If people buy those photos of themselves at like roller coasters, they would absolutely buy videos of themselves.
Sometimes you go to a course, I forgot where I've done, and they snap pictures of you on the first tee and then they try to sell you them. And like, you know, it's such a awkward sucker move to do. But some people must buy those or they wouldn't have
they
these guys out
pay
there.
That guy out.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, you put the cameras up, you get some people to make hole ones, and then you charge them for the footage.
Yeah.
And
you would pay big bucks for totally. That to have it. Yeah. Anyway, Josh Hine, good for you. You got a thing. This week, pros are just like us. Joe Durant on the PGA Tour Champions. This, I know, it's tough to even talk about. This dude, well, speaking of hole-in-one, he lost to a guy who made a hole-in-one with four holes to go, Scott McCarron, which is already rude, exactly, and brutal. But then he still could have won. 17th hole, he missed a tap-in. It was one of those, like, he stepped around the hole.
And he had that, like, awkward stance.
Yeah,
like,
and he even, like, paused for a second.
You could tell he was thinking about it.
Should I mark it?
Oh, like, my stance is terrible. Maybe I should mark it. Like, I am all for fast play. Yes. Like, keep it moving. But if you are standing over a 2.5 footer that you're, like, not sure if you're going to step in someone's line, mark it.
Just mark it.
Take the extra 30 seconds.
On the second to last hole of a tournament.
When you're tied for the lead. I would do that on a Saturday morning. Yeah. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That was hard. That was hard to watch.
Right. It was one of those putts where on Saturday morning, we're just scooping it up, obviously. Yeah. But these guys know they got to putt everything out. And you're right. Like, it's one thing if he had a normal stance and did it. I could see it.
No, but it was the...
It was a weird stance.
It was the awkward stance and it was the pause. You knew what was coming.
Oh, it was so brutal.
I feel like there's been a lot of these this season.
Yeah, there
have... I feel like we're talking about this like every other week.
Spieth missed one recently. Ooh, that was awful. Yeah, Spieth was weird. It was like he missed the ball.
It's like he whipped.
Yeah. But again, it's not usually a guy who's like leading. I mean, poor Joe Durant. And again, yeah, the double punch to the gut is that Scott McCarron makes a hole one on the 14th hole to like take the lead. Ugh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, tough break for him. All right, nugget of the week. It's actually two Phil nuggets. They both involve number 12. This is the 12th Ryder Cup for Phil. First time he's been a captain's pick. This is a record. He broke Nick Faldo's record now. 12th time.
Wait, how old is Phil?
48.
Okay.
His first one was 95.
I was doing the math. I was like, wait, was he seven years old in his first?
Well, it's funny. He turned pro in 93 and it was a Ryder Cup year, but he obviously didn't make it that year. But he made it in 95.
Yep.
And since then, not only has he made it every year, he's
qualified straight
this
up.
Year. Right. An incredible longevity.
That's a good nugget. Okay.
Amazing. And then the second one is he is in the BMW Championship this week as well. That's 12th straight year that he's done that. He's the only guy to do it. He's the player to make it to the third leg of the FedEx Cup for all 12 years.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It just shows you, this guy, say what you will about, I actually think he's in pretty good shape now. I mean, you see that high kick he did over Chris O'Donnell.
Amazing.
He's obviously got great flexibility, but for 48 years old, I mean, geez, I can only imagine. But
those hamstrings.
But he never gets injured, ever. Uh-huh. And that's why he's been able to play in this and do this.
Yeah.
And obviously he's a great player. And even his slumps are better than the typical player.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just can't, you know, two of those stats, both 12.
Two good nuggets, Alex.
Both with the number 12. So
wow,
Phil Mickelson.
Nice job.
All right. Let's talk the BMW this week. At Aronimink, which we mentioned already.
Which we already gushed over.
Yeah, which we've never seen in person. We're just gushing over it.
Someone at Aronimink could invite us.
We could take a train and be there like by lunchtime and play. I mean, you know, well, not play, but it's right
we
there.
We just show up with our clubs. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, Bryson, let's move over Tiger and Bryson. We're going to play practice round. Anyway, who are you liking this week? Do you have your eye on anybody?
Before I looked at the odds, I was like, you know, I'm really feeling Justin Rose. And then I looked at the odds. I was like, oh, so is Math.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the second favorite, right?
He's
behind Dustin.
I think he's 12-1.
That's legit.
But no, I think I really think that he played well this past week. I think he's like one of those guys that's kind of on the upswing late in the season, which is a hard thing to do because it is such a long season. And like you said, a lot of these guys are starting to come down with those like wear and tear kind of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's in a place where he can kind of capitalize. He did win in 2010, but that, well, you know, we already talked about that.
Right.
That doesn't really matter because...
I mean, that's what just one person said. I mean, I think it probably matters
I think it matters just in that like... you're familiar and you have like the general good vibes of the place, even though Gil Hanse came in and, you know, renovated a lot of the course.
Yeah.
I think that like the bones of the course are still that old school Donald Ross, you know? So I think it does matter. It does. It's not like the be all end all. But I think, yeah, I think it does matter. And then I also liked, Hideki.
Oh, yeah. He's coming on,
he's
huh?
He's charging.
Is he back?
He's got like a bunch of like top 15.
He's kind
of
back.
Yeah. I'm liking it.
I mean, at PPC Boston, I mean, now DeChambeau ended up getting to what, 16 under or something, but like Hideki was, Hideki was making a run and then he missed a tap in. He missed a tap. He made,
he birdies
7 out of 8 holes.
Yeah.
Then on a 240 yard par 3, hits it to 15 feet, runs it by like 2 feet, misses the comebacker. Like that's how crazy golf is.
Gross. That's like us.
Yeah, exactly. No, he might be back. I mean,
no, I think he's back and he's 25-1, which is a pretty good deal, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's fun. Justin Rose, you wonder if like he shows up this week and he's like, oh man, I won here before. And like, I'm just, I don't know if this is true or not, but like then he sees how different it is and he's like, what the? Like, damn it.
maybe he hates bunkers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like wait, no. This isn't the course I won on. What's going on here? They just improved it. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. I like Francesco Molinari, who actually, and we talked about this, he took a break last week. He just took a week off, which, you know, good for him because he sprinkles in European tour events as well. Yeah. And he's had a huge summer, obviously,
totally. With
the win at the Open, the win at the Quicken Loans in the DC area. So he's had a monster. To me, this sets up as kind of, you know, the Quicken Loans. It wasn't played at Congressional. It was played at TPC Avenue. One of these courses where, and I said this last week too, and I was dead wrong, or 2 weeks ago about Ridgewood. I think it'll be, you know, like we said, one of these old school courses, really thick rough, really difficult greens.
Mm-hmm.
I think, so you know, excited. An 8 to 10 under wins, which is where Francesco kind of, that's his zone.
It's a different style of play than these, like,
it's like
1,000 birdies.
Hit as many greens as you can and try to make like 3 birdies a day type.
It's not links golf, but it's like that same kind of style where, you know, only a couple under probably going to get you.
Yeah. And right. So, I mean, I think that it's, I think again he's still under the radar even though he won the Open because he didn't play last week.
So impressive to be a major champion under the radar.
And then my second guy, and he's playing well. He's got 2 I think top 25s to start the FedEx Cup playoffs. I think he including a top 10. He also finished T20 at Aronimink in 2011 when he was 19 years old, and that's Patrick Cantlay. And the other reason why I'm picking him is because, like I said, I want to see some chaos. Let's say Patrick Cantlay wins this week.
Yes.
And then the Tony Finau versus Patrick Cantlay, then it's a dilemma.
That's a dilemma. That's
exactly.
a problem.
Because early in the year, we were all saying, oh, Patrick Cantlay's going to make the team.
Like
exactly. And same thing with, like, you know, Brian Harman, we were saying the same thing too. And now these guys have kind of fallen off a little. They've still had decent years. He just needs one win. Patrick Cantlay, remember, won in Vegas. It was technically this season. If he wins again, that's 2 wins a season. As good of a year as Tony Finau has had, he has not won this year.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for a little chaos. I still think I would give the edge to Finau, but it would be kind of tough to dagger.
Because
the whole reason to wait on this pick is to pick the hottest guy.
Exactly.
So if a guy wins... Anyway, if he finished T20 when he was 19 years old,
he likes it here.
Yeah, so
picking up those big Philly vibes.
Anyway, we look forward to watching that. Obviously, we look forward to the Tour Championship coming up, the Ryder Cup, as we talked about with Tyrrell Hatton and everything else going on. A lot going on, a busy stretch kind of to finish this year. Keely, it was really fun. It was really fun talking to Tyrrell. I keep saying his name wrong. Tyrrell. Sorry, Tyrrell. You know, it was a lot of fun talking to him. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. I'm eyeing this chocolate chip cookie that you didn't finish. I'm going to eat as soon as we stop here. So anyway, thanks to Tyrrell for joining us. Thanks to everybody for listening. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts if you haven't done so already. And please check back next week to see who our guest is.